From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. One in nine Marylanders depends on food stamps. Half are children or senior citizens. The Trump administration is proposing deep cuts in food stamps, now called SNAP, for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. We asked the Maryland Food Bank about the likely impact if SNAP benefits shrink or become harder to qualify for. As that national debate heats up, farmers are calling for Maryland's governor to put money into doubling the power of food stamps spent at farmers markets. Amy Crone is leading that drive.
If the federal government is going to be cutting benefits, then these other programs provided by the states or programs that add additional benefits for folks are vital in terms of ensuring that they're still able to purchase that food that's locally grown by their farmers.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. One out of nine residents of Maryland, about 750,000 people, rely on food stamps to have enough to eat. 42% of them are children. Sarah Steele counts on food stamps to feed her three children, all kids with special needs. She says,
well, they mean whether we're going to eat or not, honestly, because it makes or breaks us every month.
We'll hear more from Sarah Steele later in the show. She's a big fan of expanded use of food stamps at farmers markets. But she and many others whose budgets are built around food stamps may find it harder to make ends meet. The Trump administration is proposing to cut food stamps, which is now called SNAP, for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, by about 30%. Part of the proposal is to cut how much recipients receive, and part is to change who would be eligible and for how long. To understand how food stamps work in Maryland and what impact the cuts might have in the Free State, we're turning to the Maryland Food Bank. Carmen Del Greccio has been president and CEO of the Maryland Food Bank for 15 months after 29 years as a banker. Welcome to On the Record.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. And Meg Kimmel is Maryland Food Bank's Chief External Affairs Officer. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
What is the relationship between the nonprofit food bank and SNAP, federal food stamps?
Well, the two programs go hand in hand. So SNAP is the first line of defense for many people in need in our communities, and the Maryland Food Bank plays a role of supplementing those benefits for people in need.
So, in other words, most of the food that gets distributed through the food bank goes to people who already are eligible and maybe receiving food stamps?
It's actually a parallel program for us. So we have, obviously, our primary work that we do is to distribute food. We have food distribution operations that are happening all day all over the state. At the same time, we have folks on our staff whose primary job it is to help eligible Marylanders sign up for SNAP benefits. And what they also do, which is equally as important, is once someone is in the program, to help them recertify. Signing up for federal benefits programs can be confusing. It can be challenging for people who are already in a stressful situation. So our team there, our team at the food bank is able to help with that. And the reason that's important is because food assistance is a puzzle. SNAP's a huge piece of the puzzle. Our food distribution programs are another important piece of the puzzle, and it goes on from there.
So in a nutshell, who is eligible for food stamps?
So in general, people who are eligible for food stamps are people who are not able to afford to purchase their own food. So that can be people who are unemployed or underemployed. It can be senior citizens. It can be children. It can be the disabled.
Of the changes proposed by the Trump administration, the one that has gotten by far the most press attention is what they call the harvest box, the idea of replacing part of the food stamp benefit with a prepackaged box of shelf-stable items. How does that strike you? I mean, in a way, it sounds like what people get when they go to a food pantry supplied by the Maryland Food Bank.
Right. Well, this is one of the areas I think I'm most concerned about, the new changes, frankly, because when you think about it, we currently provide 45 million pounds of food a year to every corner of the state through a network of about 800 different partners. And the logistics of getting food out to all corners of the state, the 11,000 square miles that we cover, is pretty burdensome. So the thought of trying to figure out a way to get food boxes to people in need across our state, to do this across our country, really the logistics of that would seem very daunting. And the potential benefits that they're citing as savings with regard to being able to buy more inexpensively, I think, would be more than offset by the cost of transportation, warehousing, and distribution. To say nothing about the fact that it's hard, it'd be very difficult to manage one family from another in terms of type of food they might, how much food they get access to, any allergies that might exist in that family, any other disease that they might be dealing with that prohibits them from eating certain types of food. So managing the scale of that and just getting the food out to these various people across this country, I just think would be very daunting.
So another big part of the proposed restructuring proposed by the Trump administration is changes in eligibility. Tell me what you have your eye on there, what concerns you most.
Well, one of the things I think that is a common misperception about SNAP and the people who receive SNAP benefits is that they're able to work and they're not working. Yet when you look at the statistics, it will show you that 81% of the people who receive those food benefits are not expected to work, or they're already working.
What do you mean by not expected to work?
So they are children. As you mentioned earlier, 42% of SNAP recipients in Maryland are kids. I don't think that's the suggestion that they would be expected to work. They might be senior citizens. They might be on disability.
But are there, in the federal food nutrition program, are there work requirements? Because that seems to be a big part of the argument for the Trump package of changes.
For someone who is currently expected to work, that means they're able-bodied and they don't have dependent children. Currently, they are expected to work and they can only receive SNAP benefits for 3 months within a 3-year period. So that age range is going to extend up, which means that older citizens would be expected to also work in order to qualify for SNAP benefits. And that is something that, while it may work out okay for some people, is certainly going to create new problems for folks that are unable to work.
The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, which is a liberal-leaning analytical group in Washington, estimates that in Maryland, 52,000 people would lose eligibility if the changes that are proposed go into effect. What impact would that have in Maryland?
Well, that would be significant. If you think about the number of meals that SNAP provides today and these proposed cuts, the reduction in that eligibility, that means we as a food bank would probably have to triple or maybe quadruple in size to meet the same the needs that people have today. So that could have a tremendous impact on us as an organization to meet this need and really would cause people to have to continue to struggle to find sources of high nutritious food.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with two representatives of the Maryland Food Bank, President and CEO Carmen Del Greco and Chief External Affairs Officer Meg Kimmel. We're talking about changes the Trump administration is proposing for SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance, often called food stamps. Conservative think tanks argue that the food stamp program does need to be reformed, needs to be revised. What's your reaction to that?
I think there's a lot of myths out there with regard to the effectiveness of the program. There's a lot of people who will reference fraud. And what we found in our experience, as well as what we've seen statistically, is there's very minimal amount of fraud that exists in the program. And coming from the banking industry, I've certainly seen my share of fraud with regard to credit card usage and things like that. And the reality is that does exist, but it's such a small piece that it's really is not enough to change the program entirely. The other myth is that able-bodied folks who can work won't work. And the reality is the opportunity for folks to have a job in this environment has been a challenge. So despite an improved economic environment, a lot of people who have gone back to work continue to struggle to make ends meet. And so the idea that people are not trying to improve their situation or improve their lot in life is really just, I think, a myth that a lot of people tend to walk around in. The reality, in my short time in the Maryland Food Bank, to find to be not true.
Food stamps covers what portion of a family's actual food costs?
One of the great ways to answer that question is to look at the name of the program. It's called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's not intended to provide the full cost of a month's groceries for a family, and it certainly doesn't do that. As I said before, it is an important puzzle piece of solving for hunger in a family's weekly needs and monthly needs. And statistically, if you look at things like the average cost of a meal in Maryland. So we know that the SNAP benefits program currently provides an average meal benefit of $1.54. And we also know that the average cost of a meal in Maryland is over $3. It's $3.03. So it's supplementing that family's budget. We call it SNAP dollars, and we also call it green dollars. So there's income there. There's some money coming in. There's this benefits program. They may have other sources of maybe they are hitting a local food pantry or a food distribution event. So these families are working hard to put food on the table every night. And the SNAP program is a critical piece of what allows them to do that.
Several publications have reported that Republicans on Capitol Hill, who hold the majority, don't intend to vote for the harvest box approach and that the Trump administration doesn't seem to be seriously laying the groundwork even to lobby for it. Do you think there is something damaging in even raising the question or having the debate about ratcheting down on food choices and food support?
You know, I think there's clearly something damaging. It's setting the bar where they've been set even without the intention of potentially following through on it. I think opens up the debate in a way for these programs to be minimized going forward. So it may not be to the extreme of some of the things we were talking about today, but I think it does open the door for more scrutiny and more reduction in potential benefits for people in need.
And does it send a message to food stamp recipients?
Oh, absolutely. Cool. I mean, the values that are coming through loud and clear in this proposal are that if you are receiving food assistance, then we need to incent you in order to get off the program. The other piece of it is that the day-to-day reality for the recipients of food assistance is daunting. The labor market, as Carmen mentioned, we have good indicators at the macro level, but on the day-to-day level, the job market's disintegrated for low-income people and for entry-level jobs. There is not a good system of access to childcare. So when you really drop into the day-to-day reality of people who are accessing the SNAP program, it's an essential piece that without which will just be another strain and drain on their ability to fully function in our society.
Well, I appreciate you both giving us some insights to assess what's going on in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Carmen Del Greco is president and CEO of the Maryland Food Bank. Meg Kimmel is its chief external affairs officer. We have links to information about the Trump administration proposal at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Short break now on the record. When we're back, what about food stamps at farmers markets? I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this morning about food stamps in Maryland. At the same time, there's a debate in Washington about making deep cuts in SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance. Farmers in Maryland are trying to persuade the state to put money into doubling the power of food stamps at farmers markets. Leading the charge is Amy Crone, founder and executive director of the Maryland Farmers Market Association. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Also with us is Sarah Steele, whose voice we heard at the top of the show. Sarah is the mother of three children, ages 10, 12, and 14, all of whom have special needs. She relies on food stamps to have enough food on the table. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Sarah, tell me about what food stamps mean for your family.
Well, they mean whether we're going to eat or not, honestly, because it makes or breaks us every month, whether we have enough food to eat or be able to put it on the table with the cost of living rising constantly. The cost of purchasing food in grocery stores is always rising. So if we didn't have the food stamps, not just being a special needs family, but family with children, it would be extremely difficult for us to provide food for my family. And I don't think that just affects low income. I think that affects the middle class at this point as well.
I know you get extra buying power for your food stamps when you use them at a farmer's market. Amy Crone, tell us about that.
Yes. So we run a program that's called Maryland Market Money. We are a small nonprofit that helps farmers markets throughout the state. And through this matching program, we fundraise dollars that are in addition to the SNAP dollars that families can spend at the farmers market. So, for example, Sarah could go and get an extra $5 to spend with the farmers that she finds there. So the program is wonderful in the sense that it supports farmers in getting additional revenue and then also low-income Marylanders to be able to buy more fresh healthy food from their local farmer.
Sarah, you live in West Baltimore, is that
yes.
right? What and what farmers market do you tend to shop at?
I kind of bounce around to all of them. I just love the farmers markets. I've made a lot of friends there. So I go to, Emerson Village. I go to Pimlico. I go to Drew Hill. I also go to the Temple at Catonsville. It's another good one. And I'm always open to any of them. So if it's the ones that I don't know about, I'm welcome to go to them.
And I know you're sort of a missionary about farmers markets. What is the argument for food stamps counting for more at a farmers market than at a neighborhood grocery?
Well, I really think it comes down to, number one, a sense of community. When I go to a grocery store, for instance, I'm going to pay $10, roughly $8, $10 for a bag of organic apples. That money is going to go out of state to another grower, and the money is also going to go to a corporation. When I go to a Maryland farmers market, I spend a dollar for that same bag of organic apples. I now am putting that money into the farmer's pocket, who's going to pay their taxes. That money is going to turn over and go into school systems, roads, and different things in our community. So instead of taking that money that the state is putting into the SNAP program and sending it off, we're actually keeping it and recycling it in our community.
Amy, what would you add to that?
We have found actually that for every dollar spent in Maryland market money, $1.30 is kept in the community. So not only is the program supporting people in terms of their health, but it's also supporting farmers and their economic livelihood. The vast majority of the farmers in the program are very small farmers, and this program can really support them and make or break their business. We had one farmer, for example, tell us that the extra $5,000 that he earns in matching money over the course of a season is enough to cover his payroll for a month, enough to pay for his chicken feed for the year, or enough to pay for the taxes for his small farm business. So it really is making a difference, not only in the low-income communities in terms of health and making sure that people have access to that healthy, fresh food, but then also in the agricultural community supporting those small farmers.
That's Amy Crone, Executive Director of the Maryland Farmers Market Association, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Sarah Steele, mother of three, who uses her food stamps at a farmer's market whenever she can. We're talking about a program called Maryland Market Money. So Maryland Market Money benefits both SNAP recipients and farmers. Amy, where does the money come from to do that?
As of right now, we fundraise from a variety of different sources. Most of them are private donations. So we work with foundations, individual donors. We have a couple of counties that support our work at that level. And we have been fundraising for the past 5 years for the program, trying to meet the demand, which is growing each season. This year alone, we estimate that over $180,000 in matching is the baseline demand. And we don't know how high that demand could actually go. So that's why we have worked to get legislation passed for the state to provide funding as well in support of the program.
Right. The legislature passed that last year?
Correct. That was in 2017, and it was passed unanimously. But unfortunately, through the amendment process, the funding was removed from the bill.
And Governor Hogan has not included it in his budget for this coming year.
That's correct, for the current budget. We are waiting to hear about the supplemental budget that may be released as early as this week, and we're hopeful that the governor will fund the program through that.
Maryland Secretary of Agriculture Joe Bartenfelder wrote that part of the reason Governor Hogan did not include the requested $500,000 in his budget is that 30% of it would go for administrative overhead. Bartenfelder said in an op-ed, quote, "This is a significant amount of taxpayer money that would not go directly to farmers or needy citizens, particularly given the program duplicates existing programs," end quote. Would you respond to that?
Sure. So first of all, the 30% for administrative costs actually directly reflects the Farmers Market Nutrition Program break. So actually,
what does that mean?
So the Farmers Market Nutrition Program is a federally funded program that the Maryland Department of Agriculture administers to provide vouchers for fresh fruits and vegetables at the farmers market. And so that program is the exact same split in terms of administrative and food benefit, as they call it. So the Maryland Department of Agriculture is actually receiving the same 30% for a program that they're implementing at farmers markets. Furthermore, Maryland market money is not duplicative in terms of the farmers market nutrition program currently provides benefits, but all of those are federally funded, and this would be the first state-funded aspect of that program. So not only does it bolster and support that program, but it actually increases the redemption rate for that as well. We see time and again that the Maryland market money match is what's bringing people out to market to utilize those farmers market nutrition program dollars.
Do any other states put money into such a program?
Yes, there have been a number of states actually. In Minnesota, there was $650,000 allocated towards farmers market programs. In Michigan, there was $750,000. In New Mexico, there was $790,000 allocated at the state level. And then in California, there was actually $5 million allocated to farmers market programming. And in our neighbors in DC, they've put almost $450,000 towards farmers market support programs there as well.
Sarah, you told me that shopping at farmers markets saved your life.
Yes.
That is a jaw-dropping statement. What do you mean?
Well, on two levels. One, I don't have enough money to feed my family. So on one level, it provides the food, you know, makes the difference there so that we're not just eating rice every day. We have some vegetables to go with it. But also, I was diagnosed with throat cancer in 2016. And since I've been going to the money markets and eating more fruits and vegetables from Maryland, my tumors have shrunk 60%. So on two levels, it saved my family and it saved me.
So you credit the produce?
Yes,
and the
because
fresh
prior
foods.
To that, I was very sick, and I literally found such a difference in my health just from eating healthier. It was amazing. I even quit smoking cigarettes. I just lost the desire to have them. So it just was like a miracle in my life, and it's made me extremely passionate about being an advocate for the program and for other families to take advantage of such an opportunity that's like right here in our backyard.
Amy, help us put this in context. You're trying to get the state to invest in a particular use of food stamp benefits. But meanwhile, at the federal level, the Trump administration is proposing serious deep cuts in the whole supplemental nutrition program. Isn't that a bigger risk to people like Sarah?
It's actually why this program is so important and why the investment by the state at this point in time is key. If the federal government is going to be cutting benefits, then these other programs provided by the states or programs that add additional benefits for folks are vital in terms of ensuring that they're still able to purchase that food that's locally grown by their farmers. So the other aspect of the proposal at the federal level includes a food box type of program. And one of the most important things to note about that is that there will be no fresh food in those boxes.
I have received food boxes, and there's nothing. You get a can of some type of meat. Maybe it's tuna fish. Maybe it's chicken. Maybe it's beef in a little can. You get two canned vegetables. You get a bag of dry beans, dry milk, and dry mashed potatoes. That is supposed to feed 4, 5, 6 family members. So it doesn't even really feed two, you know, after one day. So it's a very small box that they're talking about as well.
A lot of the reporting by national news organizations indicates that Republicans in Congress probably aren't going to do anything with the food box program, but changes in eligibility might actually be where the debate goes. What would you say about that?
So in terms of changing the eligibility, we've already seen that happen in Maryland over the past several years. There are fewer folks that are eligible for SNAP, which, again, makes this program all the more important in terms of making sure that those that are able to take advantage of it are able to get a full basket from the market. So we have 12% of Marylanders who are currently food insecure. And even if, for example, the SNAP program is cut, then they may be eligible for other benefits that we still match at the the farmers market. So the Maryland Market Money Program is important in terms of matching not only SNAP benefits, but also the farmers market nutrition program, which has a women, infant, and right, children component. Mm-hmm. And then also the seniors farmers market nutrition program and the fruit and vegetable check. So there's a variety of different benefits that regardless, hopefully, if SNAP is cut, which would be an unfortunate outcome, that folks could still be eligible for other programs as well. And we ensure mm-hmm. matching for all of those programs for all different types of foods so that, again, a family can have a full market basket and be able to have the most healthful foods on their plate. I would add to that also that we see more than half of the beneficiaries are children under the age of 18 or seniors. So these yeah. are really our state's most vulnerable populations that are taking advantage of these matching programs to try and improve their health. So these matching programs are vital, particularly when other programs may be fading away.
Thanks for walking us through it. I appreciate your insights. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Amy Crone is founder and executive director of the Maryland Farmers Market Association, which is lobbying for Maryland to invest in doubling the value of food stamps used at farmers markets. Sarah Steele is a mother of three kids with special needs who says the fresh produce and fruit she's been able to buy more of at farmers markets is keeping her and her children healthy. We've got links to more information at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for spending part of your morning on the record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.